All right, welcome back. More of the Connor Apper Show on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. Speaking of 1620 The Zone, that's where you can hear the Kansas City Royals tonight because they are on the West Coast. They'll start at 8:30 local time, and you'll be able to hear this man who is currently at the beach en route to the ballpark at some point this afternoon. Jake Eisenberg of the Kansas City Royals Radio Network joins us on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. Jake, hello. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Hello, hello. Great to talk with you, too. I would like to let you know that my toes are literally in the stand. I am staring at the Pacific Ocean. There are just a couple of puffy white clouds in this bright blue sky. It is a joy to be here in Los Angeles.
Me, too. I didn't tell you that we're doing the show from the beach today in Omaha as well.
I think Omaha Beach is something a little different.
Definitely. Yes, it is. It is indeed a little bit different. All right. West Coast road swing number one for the year. It started very well, Jake. Are you at all surprised, or what is your level of surprise at the way the Royals have begun the year?
That's a really good place to start, because I think that surprise has a lot to do with expectations. Depending on the expectations that we set for ourselves or different things, that determines our level of surprise. And I think after the offseason the Royals had, I think the expectation was that this team was going to compete. And I think there was also an understanding that a 25-win improvement year over year meant that this team was going to be a 500 team, which, yes, means they would compete, but probably wouldn't mean that they would be contending. So let's say there's a difference between competing and contending. And I think what we're currently at, after 38 games, so just about 25% of the way through the season, this team is not just competing, this team is contending. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, a pretty wide-open American League Central. I think as the season goes along, you're going to start to see the Central continue to be a little bit of a gauntlet internally, but maybe not stack up with other division leaders, you know, in the American League East or the National League West, you know, the kind of juggernaut divisions that we've come to understand. So I would say that my level of surprise is mild, because I think the Royals really addressed the things they needed to address this offseason, specifically the starting pitching, getting Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, specifically the bullpen, trading for John Schreiber, who's been fantastic, bringing in veteran guys with a track record like Will Smith and Chris Stratton and Nick Anderson, and, you know, having James MacArthur and Angel Serpa take some steps forward. And then, you know, the icing on the cake was the Bobby Witt Jr. extension, and he's done nothing but play like the superstar that he is, and that is all, you know, on the shoulders of Salvador Perez, who's played like a superhero. So I think you put all those pieces together, and yeah, I would say the surprise is mild. It is not really out of the realm of possibility. Like, I think the Royals are where they think they should be, and I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, let's start with Salvi. He's unbelievable. And
oh my God.
When he's about to have his 34th birthday tomorrow, and when you are in the position that he is in, and he's caught for so long, and he's a huge, you know, massive mountain of a man, you're like, well, he's going to decline at some point. And he has started off the year this year with the best numbers basically across the board of his entire career. His strikeout rate is down, his walk rate is up. I mean, it's I don't know how this is happening, but that guy just keeps getting better.
I think that's the point, because I think people have been saying this about Salvi for a while. I don't know how he's doing this. I don't know how he can keep doing this. And at a certain point, we need to realize that, like, this is the norm for him, not the exception. And we shouldn't be surprised that this is the kind of stuff that he does, because he's Salvador Perez. He is El Capitan. He is the heartbeat of this team. He is the superhero of this team. And, I mean, I think it's worth mentioning, too, yesterday's game was the first time that he had a full off day this season that wasn't necessitated by an injury. The only other game that he'd fully not played in was the game after he had the groin strain in New York. He played in every other game, including, you know, one non-start where he entered the game as a pinch hitter and, yeah, got a single in that at bat. But yesterday was his first full off day of the season. He's doing all of that as, like you said, a soon-to-be 34-year-old catcher who's been there, done that forever. So he has been somehow both incredible and yet somehow still, Connor, I think, an incredibly underrated part of the baseball story so far this season. I don't know that he's gotten enough
agreed
notice from you know the national baseball world for the kind of stuff that he's doing, which is kind of bewildering. But I think it's true.
No, because they'll look around
outside of the Royals bubble and the area. I don't think he's being talked about enough.
No, because they'll look at the Royals and they'll say, wow, what a surprising start. And there's a lot of surprising things, I guess, from the outside looking in about the Royals. There's you know all the things that you mentioned in the first part, which is their rotation, their starting pitching is giving them, you know, it's basically a 50% quality start rate to this point. Bobby Witt Jr.'s broken out. He's like an MVP candidate. And then you don't really care to look anywhere else from there. But you're right. He's as big of a part of the story as anything, and potentially even more so if you just look at what they've done as a team so far this year.
Well, and if I'm gonna say, I think that one of the biggest parts of the story that has been missing is like we keep talking about the Royals' hot start, which you know kind of the deeper we go, it's not a start anymore. This is just what the Royals are.
I
think they've proven that this is the team they are at this point in the season. But I think the big thing that comes to everybody's mind is wow. This Royals starting rotation is giving this team a chance to win game in and game out. They've got one of the best rotation ERAs in baseball. They've got more quality starts than just about any team in baseball. And guess who's catching all of them every single day?
Yep.
And I don't know that that particular point has been made strongly enough, that Salvador Perez is as much a part of this rotation's success as the guys on the mound themselves. And that's not to discredit Freddie Fermin, who's fabulous and has done an outstanding job in his role as well. But Salvador Perez is one of the most trusted and respected game callers and catchers in baseball for a reason. And he's gotten better this year defensively behind the plate, especially when it comes to pitch framing and receiving. He threw a guy out at third the other day. It was a ridiculous throw. I mean, he is still playing defensively at an elite level. Not that he shouldn't be. He's a five-time gold glover, but that's a big part of his story this season too, that he is doing literally everything.
How about what the Royals have done just kind of assembling this team over the better part of like, obviously we know about the young guys and the draft picks, the guys that they've built throughout their organization, like Bobby Salvi even counts in that category, Vinny Pasquantino, Mikel Garcia, MJ Melendez, like their lineup's full of them. But what they've done in the last, I mean, you know, year and a half now, since J.J. Piccolo basically fully took over, free agent signings this offseason, putting themselves in position, making great trades for Cole Reagans and James MacArthur. And, like, I mean, all of this stuff, it took pretty incredible foresight. You're getting great major league production, and then you add on this offseason. Seth Lugo has probably been the most valuable, you know, offseason signing for the price in baseball this year. Just the conglomeration of all of those things and what they've put together now over the last year.
Well, I think if you would ask them, and this is my opinion too, I think it's all about process. And I think that the Royals have developed such a really good foundational process for identifying types of players that they think can have success or types of players that might not be reaching their full potential elsewhere, but knowing that not only can they identify and get these players via trade or free agency, but they have the apparatus and systems to help them succeed. And I think, frankly, we saw that first and foremost with Aroldis Chapman. I mean, the Royals really went out on a limb to sign Aroldis Chapman last year. Brian Sweeney and the pitching staff helped him regain form, and boom, all of a sudden you've got Cole Reagans. But it doesn't just end there with getting Cole Reagans. Then Reagans spends a few weeks in AAA, learns a slider that becomes one of his best pitches, and since he made his Royals debut, he has literally, statistically, been one of, if not the best pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. And then you've got James MacArthur, who I believe it was a year ago yesterday that he officially got traded to the Royals. It was May 8th. Is today the 8th or 9th?
9th.
I don't know. One day off. Okay, so it was a year ago yesterday that MacArthur was traded to the Royals. The Royals sent a minor leaguer to the Phillies. MacArthur comes up, gets his teeth kicked in his major league debut, goes back down, tweaks some stuff with his pitch mix, comes back with weapons and confidence, and has been one of the best closers and, in general, relievers in baseball since really the start of September of last year. You know, a couple of blips this week notwithstanding, those are always going to happen for every reliever, whether you're James MacArthur or, you know, a guy like Emmanuel Clase, who's been the class of that position for the last several years. And then I think one of the more underrated acquisitions that we should probably start talking about a little bit more is during spring training, J.J. Piccolo said, hey, Boston Red Sox, let me send you a minor league pitcher that, you know, we're pretty high on, but we know is a couple of years away. Why don't you give us John Schreiber, who's been great out of your bullpen, durable, side armor, can get righties and lefties out, and he's been arguably the best reliever on the team, the most consistent reliever on the team, and one of the best in baseball. So there are three pitchers that the Royals acquired via trade over the last calendar year that have had an outsized impact on the success of this team, and I think that speaks to the processes in identifying these types of players, and then the processes internally in helping enhance these players once they get to the organization. And I think that's a sign of things to come. Not every trade is going to turn out like Cole Reagans or James MacArthur or John Schreiber, but those are three prime examples of something that the Royals have been exceptional at over the last calendar year and under the direction of J.J. Piccolo that's allowed them to be in the position that they're in.
What do you think the right combination is? And maybe the Royals are going to be one of those teams, if they continue down this road, who could be active as far as the trade market in the next, you know, month or so, 2 months, as we get closer and closer to that day and we get deeper into the season. What's the right kind of combination now as the Royals are trying to still figure things out in their outfield and with those three spots in the lineup?
What do you mean exactly?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different guys that they've tried and played in those positions. Whether it's Renfro and Isbell, and you still have Melendez who's gonna be there every day. Nelson Velasquez. There's a couple guys that are hitting in the minor leagues right now. Like, it still feels like they're trying to find the right combo for those three spots.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying, and I think, to be honest, I think that's one of the things that Matt Quatrero has done a really good job of, is mixing and matching those guys to put them in the best situations to succeed, depending on the matchup with the starting pitcher, depending on how they've been going lately, depending on the game situation, making a defensive switch, you know, in the late innings, or making a pinch hitting switch in the late innings. I think, yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more stability there. Sure. I think that probably starts with who finds offensive consistency first and most frequently. I mean, Kyle Isbell is going to be, I think, a gold glover this year. He's certainly playing like it, and he's been great at the bottom of the lineup and, frankly, has done exactly what the Royals need him to do offensively. And then on the corners, it's, you know, can MJ Melendez find his footing? He got off to such a great start this season, but, yeah, it's been cold lately. Hunter Renfro's traditionally been a slow starter. His at-bats have started to look better. The batted ball data has started to look better. He's got a track record of success. You know, can he find that? Nelson Velasquez, you know, took Kauffman Stadium by storm and made the ballpark look small last year, but now he's getting pitched a little bit differently. His timing's a little bit off. He's got to make some adjustments to regain the form that he had at the end of last season. And Adam Frazier has been solid. Bat to ball. He just broke out of a slump with his RBI single yesterday and proved that he can rob a home run in right field. I mean, who knew that when the Royals signed him? So I think Hugh's done a really good job of mixing and matching those guys and giving Dairon Blanco some at-bats as well. You know, who's proven that he can play. And, you know, if he's a guy that gets more opportunities and everyday at-bats, I think he could be not just a difference maker on the bases, but I think he could catalyze a lineup as well. I mean, I've seen Dairon play since 2021 in Omaha, and he's always been a guy that can kind of light the world on fire when you give him an opportunity to do so. So I think, yeah, the Royals are going to look for a little bit more stability there, but it's still pretty early in the season. And as far as the guys that are at the AAA level, and this is not to take anything away from those guys because they're playing extremely well. I've been following along with the games and looking at the numbers. I will say with one caveat, yes, they do have some big league experience, but there was a really interesting article from Ken Rosenthal this morning. He talked to a bunch of people around the game about how the gap between AAA and the majors is as wide as it's ever been, maybe ever, for position players coming up, and how the level of pitching is what's changed so drastically between AAA and the big leagues. And so I am personally of the opinion that looking at AAA numbers is not necessarily indicative of major league success all the time. I think anybody would say that. It certainly starts there. And, you know, if that keeps up and, you know, the winds blow where they blow, then yeah, the Royals have depth this year that they might not have felt that they had last year. And as we know, contending teams, championship teams, don't just use the 26 guys that they started the year with. They go, you know, 40 deep sometimes. That depth is really important, and the Royals have that right now.
How great has it been this year? Because, I mean, been around for a couple of years now, has been some lean times, but, you know, we remember, and you remember as well, growing up around the game, when the Royals were contending and the crowds – every single night were electric, and it felt like something was on the line every night. We've got a little bit of a sip of that, a taste of that this year. I was at the ballpark on Sunday. You know, even after the rain delay, the crowd was still pretty engaged and into it. How cool has it been to be around that? Some bigger crowds and some livelier ones at Kauffman Stadium this year.
Well, first, I mean, hey, man, thanks for saying hello when we're down at the ballpark.
Well, I always do my tradition of, like, what do I need to do to get a text? I always look up and I, like, take a picture of you, but I didn't do it because, I don't know, I felt like it would just be too on brand. I should just text you next time. That's always a much better idea.
It's always good to see you. No, it's been a lot of fun. And we were talking about this, you know, during the game yesterday. I think it was the seventh inning. And Denny, Stu, and I were talking about how the reason why games like Tuesday and games like Sunday hurt as much as they do is because they matter as much as they do. And I obviously can't speak to, you know, a decade prior, 14 and 15, because I wasn't here. But I do know a little bit of what that feels like, you know, having done those Mets games in 2022. That team won 101 games, had World Series aspirations, and the results mattered day in and day out. And that's not to say that they didn't matter last year, because they do matter, and nobody wants to go 56 and 106. I will say that it didn't really feel like that day in and day out last year. The vibe around the team last year was a lot more hopeful than it was gloomy, that makes sense. And I think we understand now why, looking back at the second half of last season, especially in September when the Royals had a winning month. But yeah, I mean, the fact that the results matter and these decisions matter and these at-bats matter and these pitches matter, it heightens everything. It heightens the tension. And yeah, it certainly helps or doesn't, depending on your perspective, that the Royals have played as many close games as they have. I mean, it's incredible. Every single game is within two runs heading into the ninth inning or something like that. It's been wild. But it's been a lot of fun. And I've loved seeing the people in Kansas City and beyond come out and support this team in the way that they deserve to be supported. I mean, we've gone to some other places over the last couple of years, and, you know, there have been great crowds where we go. And it's great to see that in Kansas City as well, now over the last several weeks. And I hope it continues to grow, and we hope to consistently see 25,000 at the ballpark, not just for, you know, a beautiful Saturday night and a marquee weekend series, but, you know, on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday gay game like yesterday.
By the way, Jake, I mentioned this on Twitter. I'm all the way in on the James MacArthur closer entrance. He had a couple bad days there, but I love the song and I love the lights. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so in, and it's not just for James MacArthur. I mean, Chris Stratton had a save opportunity, and they did the entrance for him too. I mean, I just love to see, you know, the ballpark start to lean into those big moments of the game, like we see across baseball. And I think it starts with, you know, Edwin Diaz and the trumpets a couple of years ago, but that's an electric sort of thing that really gets the blood pumping and the juices flowing. And to see those lights go off at Kauffman Stadium, yeah, it definitely hits a little bit more during a night game than a day game. But it's a really cool thing, and I love seeing the ballpark come alive to that, not just on the field, but in the stands too.
Jake, I'll be making my way back hopefully many times this summer, and I will definitely send you a text next time. I apologize.
I should certainly hope so.
Enjoy the West Coast. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. I'm going to go dip my toes in the ocean and hang out for a little bit, and then go get ready for the game.
Us too. So see ya.
Take care, man.
That's Jake Eisenberg of the Kansas City Royals. You'll hear him tonight at 8 o'clock on 1620 The Zone. Seattle and L.A. L.A. this weekend, Seattle next week. And then, so we mentioned 2014, 2015, and I can't go 10 seconds without mentioning those teams. When they return home, they will be unrolling the 2014 10-year anniversary festivities next Friday when they play Oakland, of all teams.
That's how you juice the gate.
The 2014 ALCS, the American League champion pregame ceremony and reunion next Friday. They'll have an HDH bobblehead for the Saturday and Sunday games. They'll do Wade Davis Saturday, Greg Holland Sunday, and I think they do Herrera on Friday. And I think, you know, they're throwing out first pitches, and there's going to be a whole bunch of special stuff that go along with that as well. a good time to remember, Josh. That's all.
Will they be playing the 2014 AL wildcard game on the big screen?
That is a great idea.
Before or after the game?
That is a great idea. I should mention that. Mm-hmm. I can send them a picture or two if they need any. If they need to remember that night anymore. All right. Thank you to Jake. And I didn't want to bother him. You know, it was an hour and a half rain delay. I didn't know what he was doing. He was probably eating ice cream out of that helmet again.
You got to have an extra ice cream helmet for the rain.
I think so.
It's required.
I did get an ice cream helmet during that rain delay on Sunday. Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream.
And I saved the little helmet and I washed it out.
Yeah, you did.
All right. We'll be back. Thank you for humoring me for another 15 minutes, maybe 20.
Hey, the people were coming to us asking, Connor, is this real? When can I start to believe?
We give you what you want. More to come on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. One reminder today, the Zone deal is to Cops. It is more than just pizza, steak, seafood, pastas, fresh salad, tasty charred wings. All from Cops with three convenient locations in Omaha right there at your fingertips. And we want to help you save a couple bucks. $50 worth of vouchers for just $25. On sale Friday at 9, 1620thezone.com.